It's a very strange universe in 2023. A lot going on. Strangest thing that's happened in 2023 is Georgia has just won back-to-back championships, led by an undersized and often overlooked quarterback, Stetson Bennett IV. In 2012, another undersized quarterback entered the draft, who would go to back-to-back Super Bowls in 2013 and 14. His name is Russell Wilson. He said in an interview that he went to the NFL Combine and he was going for that elusive 6-foot height marker at the Combine. So he wore extra socks. I think they measured him without his shoes on. And he gelled his hair up to get to 6 feet. He's like, I thought I was gonna come in 6 feet, 6 feet one. He got marked 5 feet, 10 1/4 inches. He was walking out with his fellow quarterbacks down to the next training evolution. And one guy looked to the other guy and he said, he's not going to make it. Russell said he still remembers that. He went to back-to-back Super Bowls in 2013 and 14. He holds the record for the most wins for an NFL quarterback through 9 seasons. In 2020, he was the 3rd quarterback in history to throw 30 touchdowns in 4 consecutive seasons. He got paid $170,000 for his 2013 Super Bowl win. $170,000 under the NFL's performance criteria, where you have to give the young folks a bonus. And in 2014, he signed a 4-year, $140 million contract. The Seattle Seahawks. He made it. As you may have read, Russell Wilson has devoted a lot of his training to his mental training. His coach that passed away a couple years ago, Trevor Moad. He's got a couple books out. Trevor Moad is the son of Bob Moad, the chicken soup for the soul guy. So Russell has dedicated a lot of his time to his mental training. They need to go up to the Browns facility and work out up there. And he said to his Instagram, Russell said this to his Instagram followers a couple years ago. Russ said, y'all ever go to bed and you're tossing and turning and can't sleep? Your mind's running. All these different things, whether it's big or small. Whatever it may be, you can't find that peace. And a lot of times we're trying to find the peace of me, the peace of you. The peace of us. What the scripture says in Philippians 4:7 is the peace of God. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. That's the kind of peace that I want to have. The peace of God. I challenge us to try and search for that. And a lot of times what happens is that we run our own thoughts, our own ideas. We're constantly thinking about what we want to do. How we want to fix it. How we want to handle this, and we want to do that. Our study today is on King David. And it was said that King David was a man after God's own heart. He also dedicated a lot of his time, as you know, to his mental training and his spiritual training. And we'll learn today that David was ready, just like Russ at the NFL Combine. He was ready to listen, and he was ready to take action. You've heard the story about the anointing of David, but it's such a great story. We'll do it again. As Mark said last week, Saul had lost favor with God because he was disobedient. So he said, Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. And you'll find a new king to anoint there. So, of course, Samuel goes to Jesse's house. 1 Samuel 16. And he goes over there. And, of course, Jesse's got the 7, 8 boys there. And, of course, Jesse brings out the tall one. The big one. When they arrived, 1 Samuel 16. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. I think he made that judgment based on the boy's height alone. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse put all the boys in front of Samuel. No, 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 no. Samuel says, "Do you have any others?" Well, Jesse said, "There's still the youngest. He is tending the sheep." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So David is anointed as the new king of Israel, but he doesn't hold any position or any titles. And he actually goes to work as essentially an apprentice or a journeyman for Saul. He plays the lyre. And he's doing that. He's just a young teenage boy, and he's also tending the sheep. And David's going to come upon his first test to see if he is ready. The first test for David is a big one, and we know that story as well. Jesse says, "Hey, your boys are out at war a few miles away, however far it was. Go bring them food. You got three boys out there on the front line. David the younger, go bring them some food." So David takes Jesse's, obeys Jesse, goes out, brings his brother some food. He's there on the front lines, and there's Goliath there in the valley. He's been coming out for, I think, 40 days at this point. He's been coming out and saying, "Hey, instead of us fighting a war, why don't you send your best man out here, and whoever wins, the other one will surrender." And Goliath is taunting them. And obviously it's a big deal to send a man out there, because if you send the guy out there and he's killed, you know, the agreement is you're all going to surrender. Whether they would keep that agreement or not would be another thing. So David comes onto the scene. He's not aware of what's going on. He sees this Philistine out there, and he goes to Saul. He works his way over to Saul in 1 Samuel 17. David says to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." David's ready for this first test. He wants to fight Goliath. Of course, Saul says, no way am I going to let you go fight Goliath. If you lose, you know, we're all going to have to go surrender to the Philistines, and they'll probably kill us all. David is undeterred. He said, "When I was tending my father's sheep, a lion came on me, and I killed him, and God rescued me from the mouth of the lion. And a bear came to attack the sheep, and God rescued me from the mouth of the bear, and I killed the bear." He acts like he's doing it with he's killing this bear and this lion with his bare hands, which he may have had a knife or something. So he tells Saul these two stories. He killed the lion, he killed the bear out tending the sheep. So Saul's response, when he hears David tell about these two stories, he says, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I don't know how those two stories convinced Saul, but they did. So the story goes, as you know it, David tries on the armor. It doesn't fit. He's like, "I can't go out there with this armor. It's oversized. I'm not used to it. I'm used to using my own means to fight." So he goes out there, he gets the five stones, he's got the sling, he's got a staff. Goliath taunts him, "Am I a dog that you're going to send this little boy out here to beat me with a stick?" And, you know, David picks up the stone. Goliath starts rushing at him. He slings the stone. Boom, center hit right in the forehead. Drops Goliath, pulls out Goliath's sword, stabs him, kills him, and then he cuts off his head, brings his head back to Saul. So you may have said, "Oh, David got a lucky break, right? What happened if that first stone had just gone a little high? Phew. Goliath would have been on him in a second. He would have thrown him to the ground and killed him." And Goliath was armed with armor and a huge sword. So you could have said, "Oh, it's just a lucky break. He takes one to the gut, he's fine. One sails high, Goliath is fine. David just got a lucky break." But no, David was prepared. He was prepared mentally. We go to the Psalms to look at David's preparation. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. David had no fear that day. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So just like when David was in the field killing the lion and the bear with his bare hands, he had that same poise and that same confidence that when he was ready and God called on him, he would deliver. So David wasn't handed the throne after this event. He did become a commander in Saul's army. But Saul, as you know, still wanted to remain in charge. So the only way to be the new leader of Israel was essentially that Saul had to die. But as we know the story as well, David wasn't going to do it. David said, I will not take out God's anointed. So Saul tries to kill David at every turn. He gets he's jealous and he wants David out of the picture. And he tries to kill him at every turn. And he forces David essentially to lead a rebel army. He's got 400 men roaming around the countryside trying to avoid Saul's wrath. They went into battle one time. David was planning to be on the other side of this battle, but he got left out through God's providence. They go into battle against the Philistines, and Saul dies in the battle. The story goes that as he was getting overrun by the army, he fell on his own sword. So once Saul was dead, David takes over, and he unifies his rebel army with Israel and reunites the 12 tribes of Israel. So David sets his sights on Jerusalem. He's going to go on his second test in this story. Many tests he had, but in this day, we're going to call it his second test. So as you know, that Moses had walked into the promised land, and Jerusalem had been captured. So David is told by God to go to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 5. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off," they thought. So Jerusalem is an impregnable walled city. And they're making fun of it, saying, you know, there's a blind guy could drop a stone and hit you, and you cannot defeat Jerusalem. So there's no way to attack Jerusalem. So David receives instruction from God, or receives some sort of intelligence, that he's able to use the subterranean tunnels that carried water into the city to march his army inside the walls. They said there was an old limestone tunnel that ran under Jerusalem. And it was a serpentine tunnel that was actually dug out a little bit, but it was a natural occurring tunnel. And then you had to climb up a shaft. According to the archaeologists, you had to climb up a 40-foot shaft to get into Jerusalem. That's where they got the water from. So apparently David got his whole army through the tunnel, the water tunnel, and then he got up the 40-foot shaft and he took over Jerusalem. The lesson for us is that when you are ready, like David, it means you have prepared. You've prepared mentally. David prepared physically as well. And you have no doubt that God put you in this place, 1277 Lenox Park, for a reason. So that what others think is impossible seems obvious, even easy to you. Things looked like they came easy to David. Put me in front of Goliath, I'll take him down. Put me in front of Jerusalem, and I'll take it out. David wasn't always on, his throttle switch wasn't always on go. But when God instructed him, he did not hesitate. You think of David sometimes like Conor McGregor. You just put him in front of a guy and he fights. The Irish mixed martial arts guy. He wasn't like that. He did hesitate. Saul tried to give him his first daughter. David said, no, I'm not ready to be your son-in-law yet. I don't know if there's something wrong with the woman or not. He said, God, should I attack the Philistines? And he waited for God to give him instruction about how to attack. So he was thoughtful, but he was prepared and he was ready. And when God spoke, he did not hesitate. He was ready. I think you can contrast this to Moses. So Moses goes out in the desert. He spends a long time in the desert. He's mentally prepared. He's physically prepared. He's got the burning bush. And he says, go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, I'm not very good at speaking. Could you send someone else to help me? So God sends someone. He sends Aaron to help Moses. Moses was ready, but he wasn't ready like David, ready to go when the Lord calls. We're going to go back to football now. The Rudy scene, where he's going to get his first start. I guess it was the last game of his senior season. His last chance to play football. Coach brings him on the, grabs him by the face masks. He says, Rudy, are you ready? He says, Coach, I've been ready my whole life. And of course the coach smiles, because how can you be ready to go into a football game when you've never played a snap in your life? Of course you're not ready like an experienced person, but you're ready physically, mentally, and spiritually to do what you're called to do. You're ready. I'm working on the college search with my son. He's a junior. He's done the advanced SAT prep on Sundays. He's got a college counselor at school. I've hired a college trip planner. It's like a vacation planner, but they, you know, tell you what parking lot to go to and try to get you the inside track on talk to this teacher in this department that you want to go to. And as you guys will tell me, it doesn't really matter, right? It doesn't really matter where you go to school. Everything will work out. But it does, right? You are worried about it. I'm worried about it. So I'm sitting at my desk one day at home, and I wrote, control your destiny. I can make this thing work. I stared at the piece of paper for a little while with this one phrase on it, and then I crossed it out. I said, that is the stupidest thing I have ever thought about. I apologized to God. He came back. He said to me, for what? What did you apologize for? Because you're an idiot? God said, I know who you are. I know you think that way. He put on my heart, I'm in control, and I need you to be ready, not in control. Russell Wilson graduated in 3 years from North Carolina State. So he took graduate classes in the fall of 2010. In the spring, he comes out and tries out for Major League Baseball and was drafted by the Colorado Rockies, his first time in Colorado. His dad died the following day. He dropped baseball and played football at Wisconsin as a graduate transfer. At Wisconsin, he set the single season passing record and then went to the NFL draft, selected in the third round, 75th overall. Does that sound like Russell Wilson was in control? It doesn't sound like Russell Wilson was in control to me. But when the time came to step up, he was ready. He was mentally prepared. He was physically prepared. And he was ready to go, even though he was 5'10 and a quarter. So the challenge today is, are you ready? Are you in a position to succeed where you are? Sometimes you might be in the wrong position, but you're still going to trust God that he's going to put you in the right position. David was in the right position there when Samuel came out and anointed him as the next king. But then David goes over and hangs out with Saul, and Saul gets mad at him and starts throwing spears at him. So David was not in the right position at that point, but he still trusted God and he was ready. So my challenge is to start with Psalm 23:1, that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of David. We thank you that he was a courageous man, that he was ready to serve you, and that he gives us a model of how we should think, how we should act, and how we should be mentally prepared to go into action when you put us into action. Amen. Have a good time at your tables.